Hello everyone. Here I'm at the Oxford Union Society. I'm going to show you some of the oldest photos. So look at the summer of 1914, 110 years ago. And here is the Standing Committee, is in the governing body of the Oxford Union Society, the Debating Society of Oxford University. And who do we have in the front row, sitting on the carpet? Do you recognise that face? That is Harold Macmillan. He was the junior treasurer. And he was due to be the president of the society the next term. But the First World War broke out. He volunteered, he served in the Grenadier Guards, and the war came back, war came over, and he said, not returning to Oxford, it's a city of ghosts. So many of his friends had been killed. Now, he later became prime minister in 1957. He served on to 1963. He had to stand down because of prostate problems. But he said he never would have got as far in politics. It had not been the First World War. A lot of the really gifted people were killed. And he was so gallant in that war that he said, people used to say in the Grenadier Guards for decades afterwards, someone as brave as Mr. Macmillan. But nobody else from this group turned out to be particularly famous. Some of them indeed were killed in the First World War. Look at J.B. Raju at New College, an Indian undergraduate. And obviously you can see their names down the bottom. There it is. Harold Macmillan. He wasn't by his middle name, Morris. American on his mother's side of the Macmillan Publishing Company. Always like to point out his grandfather was a Crofter. It's actually his great-grandfather. I forgot, here's the Right Honourable Austen Chamberlain, okay? Sometime leader of the Conservative Unionist Party, the only leader of the party never to become Prime Minister in the 20th century until William Hague. So he's the son of Joe Chamberlain, Lord Mayor of Birmingham, major figure in the Liberal Party. So Austen Chamberlain, he did not go to Oxford University though. What else? He was a liberal unionist, first of all. His father was a liberal, split with the Liberal Party over Irish Home Rule. So there's Austen Chamberlain and his younger half-brother, Neville Chamberlain, later became Prime Minister, 1937 to 1940. Anyway, let's skip down to 1925. They weren't taking regular termly photos. Here's the Standing Committee. And who's there in the front row? Who's there? He is David Lloyd George, the Liberal Prime Minister, 1916 to 22. He didn't attend any university, was a solicitor. Of course, you know, when he was a young man, only about 1% of the population went to university. So born in Manchester to Welsh parents, his father died when he was little, went back to Wales and brought up by his uncle and assumed his uncle's surname, his maternal uncle. And nobody else particularly distinguished, and an undergraduate from South Asia, SWRD Bandaranaike, who later became leader of his country, Sri Lanka. Of course, it was Ceylon at this time, a British colony. And then his widow later took over as Prime Minister of Sri Lanka. Who's here in 1925? Is it anybody who's famous? Well, here you can see the writer G.K. Chesterton. Now, the Irish Gael is the man whom the gods drove mad. For all their songs of wars are merry, and all their songs are sad. He was an enormous man, but he's not an Oxonian. The Chesterton estate agents that his family owned is still going in West London. And nobody else particularly famous. But look, this chap has got the surname Monkhouse, Bob Monkhouse. About the only other person you've ever heard of with a surname Monkhouse. That's at the door of the debating chamber. So the Oxford University's been going, Oxford Union been going since 1823. But it's only been on this site for not less time than that. And who's in this photo who you might recognise? Who's at the front row? Professor Albert Einstein. He came and gave a guest lecture here. And in the Ashmolean Museum, you can still see the blackboard on which he worked out his theory of relativity. I mean, he was just demonstrating. He'd already figured it out. Because at the end, an undergraduate was about to wipe it off. And one of the dons said, no, we'll preserve that, as preserved to this day. Okay, but nobody else particularly famous in this front row here, except this J.S. Cripps, as in the son of Stafford Cripps, the Liberal and later Labour MP, ambassador to the Soviet Union. And then here's John Foote of the Foote family. He used to be president. Michael Foote, his brother, was leader of the Labour Party. His father was Isaac Foote, a Liberal MP, mayor of Plymouth, related to Dingle Foote. His nephew was Paul Foote, the celebrated extreme left journalist, and so on. And Lord Caradon was his brother, as in the last governor of colonial Cyprus. So the four Foote brothers, three went to Oxford, all were president of the Union. One went to Cambridge, was also president of the Union. Look at this in 1929, and they're not in chronological order, I'm afraid. Here's Viscount Hailsham, sometime Lord Chancellor, Conservative MP, and his son inherited the title. Okay. And look at this, the Honourable Quentin McGarrell Hogg, Christchurch. So the Son is here and the Father is there. He was also Lord Chancellor under Margaret Thatcher for 8 years. I've read his autobiography, A Sparrow's Flight. There he is. Okay, so he was the Conservative MP for Oxford, elected in 1938, controversially supported appeasement, which was very popular at the time. What was I going to say? And there's Diplock, who later became a famous judge. What else was I going to say about him? I remember when I came up, this Quentin Hogg, Lord Hailsham, he was patron of the Oxford University Conservative Association. So his father had been Lord Chancellor, and both his grandfathers had been Lord Chancellor. And his son, Douglas Hogg, was also Conservative MP. All right. And is anybody else down here? We already did this one. Looking on to 1936, and who have we got? anyone famous? Sir John Simon, the Liberal MP, author of the Simon Report regarding India, went out to India in the early 1930s and was met by a lot of cooperators who said, Simon, go back, because not a single Indian on this committee, the Simon Commission, to consider the constitutional evolution of India. And nobody else who achieved particular distinction. So he was a barrister, Sir John Simon, before he went into politics. And then one person on that commission was Clement Attlee, a Labour MP who later became convinced that India needed to go independent as soon as possible. And look at this one from 1946. Who is distinguished here? Sir Anthony Eden, Christchurch, later Prime Minister. He'd been Foreign Secretary in the 1930s, the youngest Foreign Secretary for a long time, Prime Minister 1955 to 57. All seemed so promising until ruined it with the Suez Crisis, with his overreaction and military action against Egypt without United Nations approval, lying about his foreknowledge of what Israel was about to do. And I don't think anyone are particularly famous. So when he was at Christchurch, Eden, he'd read Arabic. So he's almost unique amongst Conservative MPs in speaking fluent Arabic. Considered himself a bit of an expert in the Middle East. He'd also been in the Grenadier Guards in the First World War. So if we go to 1940, you see they're about tense. November 1940, the Battle of Britain was just over. The Second World War was going very badly for the United Kingdom. They could easily have lost. So is there any tension showing in the faces here? But their celebrated guest here is the left-wing Labour MP, and you're in Bevan, Nye Bevan, so the MP for Tredegar. So served down the mines in the First World War rather than doing military service. And there were Bevan boys in the Second World War, as in performed their service by being miners, because they badly needed enough miners, and it was obviously very physically demanding, actually quite risky as well. So he died in 1960. He'd been Health Secretary after the Second World War, helped to set up the National Health Service. We look up to 1939, so just months before the Second World War began. And is there anybody who's well-known here? I just don't think there's no one we would recognise or who achieved particular distinction. Is it a bit too much light playing on it, too much reflection of these people? No, I don't think so. So it's all male to the 1960s. Anyway, that's perhaps enough of the early years of the Oxford Union Society. So I shall switch it off now. Thank you so much for watching my channel. And make sure you subscribe to me on Patreon and donate on PayPal. I've shown these ones with Jeremy Thorpe earlier on. Here's a 21-year-old Jeremy Thorpe. Goodbye.